It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host with the most, as Joe Auriemma calls me. I really don't know what that means. We'll find out one day, I guess. And we'll meet Joe Auriemma in the second segment of this podcast. But right now, I get to vent, as I always do, in the monologue. And the first thing we have to talk about is the most recent thing. We're taping this a day late, and I'm actually glad we are taping it a day late because we wouldn't have been able to talk about Carlos Beltran. And now we're able to talk about Carlos Beltran because it came out last night. And, you know, the calendar says 2010, but Met fans have to be wondering if it's still 2009. Right after they signed Jason Bay, and everything seems to be right with the outfield and starting to seem right with the world, they're about to sign Benji Molina, possibly. There are some pitchers on the Mets talking to him, trying to get him on board. But who knows if this Beltran thing, a major cog of not only the outfield, but of that lineup, has Benji Molina maybe on the fence now. And maybe it has Jason Bay wondering, well, maybe did I make the right choice? The check's going to clear, Jason. Don't worry. You'll be fine. But Carlos Beltran has 2 years left on the seven-year, $119 million contract he signed. He's due $18.5 million this year, $18.5 million next year. And as it stands right now, after having this surgery, they say 8 to 12 weeks he'll be out of action. So you're looking, best case scenario, or scenario, however you want to pronounce that word, you're looking at the beginning of May, if everything goes well, and the rehab and, you know, spring training, extended spring training for Beltran, everything goes well, he could be back in May. If everything doesn't go well, and this doesn't heal the way it's supposed to heal, who knows when he's coming back? So you got a guy on the books for $18.5 million who did this, by the way, to the Mets' admission behind their back. Didn't even consult with the Mets. Didn't get it done by the Mets' team physician. Now, he didn't get it done by a doctor in an alley somewhere. He got it done by the doctor who invented this procedure, the microfracture surgery, on knees. And that's a guy by the name of Richard Stedman. So I don't know. There's a part of me that says it's his body and he's thinking of his future, both for baseball and after baseball. There's another part of me that says Mets are paying you $18.5 million to do your job. It's paying you $18.5 million a year for the next 2 years. I think you should have dropped a dime. I think in saying that, that part of me is outweighing the other part of me. More baseball now. We'll get back to Beltran with Joey. All these topics, you know, Joey comes in our next segment and he's with me the rest of the way. And I'm interested to see where he falls on this. But I blogged about this with Mark McGuire and his admission to doing steroids. Now look, if you read my blog, this is just going to be pretty much me repeating what I said in my blog. When I was 15, when I was a sophomore in high school back in 1989, okay? And if me and my friends who are 15 years old and younger can look at McGuire and say, he's on steroids, and it leads me to do a term paper on the subject in high school. How did Major League Baseball and his manager, Tony La Russa, have no idea this guy was on steroids? Give me a freaking break. Give me a break. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because now people are starting to talk about, oh, well, now that he's opened his mouth, maybe he'll get into the Hall of Fame. My answer to that is a resounding no. Now, look, there might be guys already in the Hall of Fame that have taken steroids. I don't know that. They're already in there. But if you want to make a statement, none of these guys who did this stuff should be allowed to go into the Hall of Fame. Now, listen, I know that there's people in the Hall of Fame, like Ty Cobb, who wasn't, you know, the perfect citizen. To my knowledge, though, Ty Cobb didn't take performance-enhancing drugs. And he performed on the baseball field as a normal human being. I'll give you the perfect example. Don Mattingly, who Joe and I have talked about this from time to time on the podcast about the Hall of Fame, there's some people who think he isn't a Hall of Famer. I think Joe falls into that category. There are other people like me who think he's on the cusp. And the perfect argument is Kirby Puckett. Their numbers were very similar. The thing that Kirby Puckett has that Mattingly doesn't have is a World Series ring. Well, he has two of them. But in a one World Series, Kirby Puckett was the World Series. That's fine. Don Mattingly never had a pitching staff to get to the World Series. Excuse that almost expletive right there. Never. Okay? Mattingly hurt his back. 1990 is when he started to decline. He had six straight years of Cooperstown caliber numbers. There was a time from 1985 to 1987, he had 96 home runs in a three-year span and only struck out 114 times. That is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You throw in a batting title, an MVP, six All-Star appearances, nine Gold Gloves. But when his back started hurting him in 1990, did Mattingly turn to PEDs? No. Mattingly declined like any other human, normal human being would decline. His numbers started going south in the tank. So the writer's view of him going into the Hall of Fame, he wasn't consistent enough. He doesn't have that elusive World Series. If you reward these guys who took PEDs and you don't reward guys who toughed it out like Mattingly without their help, shame on you. That's what I got to say about that. We'll also talk about the Jets. Keep pressing on. Gangrene, one game away from potentially hosting the AFC Championship. That is, of course, if Baltimore can beat their former resident, Indianapolis. Could happen. Could definitely happen. But the Jets have to get by San Diego. And they've got a lot of swagger going on in that locker room, especially the defense. Kerry Rhodes, some reporter said, you know, the Chargers haven't scored less than 20 points all season long. Kerry Rhodes barked back, well, they haven't faced us yet. Kerry, I got news for you. You're a great defense. It's all well and good. But if that defense played like it did against Cincinnati, who couldn't have anything go right for them, Carson Palmer was awful. Ocho Cinco couldn't get out of his way. You're going to have your hands full with San Diego, my friend. I'm not saying it's going to be a runaway, but it could be if you play like you did against Cincinnati. And also, as we went off last week, not only did we hear the dulcet tones of Mr. Auriemma, Joe's father, we also teased the fact that I was going to bring up a way to maybe fix this BCS bowl situation. That'll be our last segment today. You're going to have to stick around for that. It's something I call the cream puff average margin of victory. We brought it up briefly last week. We'll get into it later on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Mr. Auriemma, the godfather, joins us next. Keep it right here, everybody.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I am the co-host of Off the Wall, Joe Auriemma.
Not to mention producer and editor.
Producer and editor. I also have a blog that I haven't done in a while. I got to do it. Meet at the Bat. Really, the Godfather's got a lot going on right now, Chris. You're my consigliere. You need to take some of this stuff off my plate.
All right.
So, yeah.
Whatever you need, Godfather, you know that.
My father had Jenko. What do I got? I got Chris Sheeran.
Great. Fantastic.
Thank you for bringing up my father, his song at the end of the last show.
Your father, I know he chose to family over a career in music, but he could, you know, I don't see any difference between it could have been Joe and the Americans, or, you know,
he could have
been one of the Four Seasons. I mean, that's how good his voice was. And, you know, it's coming from somebody who grew up on that music. And when you let me listen to it the first time, I was like, are you sure that's not Frankie Valli?
Well, thank you very much. I will let him know. And I know
my
dad is very fond of you. I don't think my dad knows how to, you know, even click on a podcast.
That's fine. Well, it was very good. I'm glad we got it up there for him, and hopefully Mr. A is doing well as Mrs. A. It's like Happy Days. It's like Mr. and Mrs. C.
Hey.
But Carlos Beltran, getting back to serious business here, Joe, what's your take?
I mean, this saga is like As the World Turns.
I don't want your opinion as a Met fan, because we know how Met fans are going to feel about this. I want your opinion as someone in the Met front office, and this just coming across your desk and you saying what?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm someone in the Met's front office, I am extremely PO'd right now. I mean, to go behind their back and not even tell them that this is going on, this is going to happen. If I'm the Mets, I am filing grievances all over the place. And you know what? I know they need him. I know they need him. So I wouldn't, you know, go and say, you know, try to void out his contract like the Yankees tried to do with Jason Giambi a couple of years back. But I will say this. I would try not to pay him until he comes back.
Well, it's going to be something that should be done.
A suspension without pay.
If he goes behind a team's back, now listen, I know that not only Beltran, but other players on the Mets team, even though they won't admit to it, had some issues with the doctors last year.
Yeah, I mean, I know Beltran, you know, kind of put it on the Mets saying that they made him go out there day in and day out. And they didn't realize how severe the injury actually was, making it worse. And then when he finally, you know, did sit out, they kept him out longer than they should have. He felt like he could go out and play. So he feels like they've kind of screwed him up a little bit. And I don't know if this is his way of saying, you know what, I'm not even going to deal with the Mets medical staff because I've had problems with them in the past. I don't like the way they've treated me. I'm going to go do my own thing. With that being said, he should have said to them, look, I'm going my own way, but this is what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I will keep you in the loop.
Absolutely. And this is huge, because this is, you know, this is one of his major joints that he really needs to lean on at the plate, in the field, in center. I mean, it's just to the point where, you know, Met fans and the front office alike have to be wondering, what do we have to do to catch a break here? And just so Met fans know, and this is not going to make you feel any better, okay? Anthony Hardaway had this surgery.
And his career quickly declined.
Over.
Yeah.
Greg Oden had this surgery. He hasn't been able to be on the court.
Now, but to be fair here, Greg Oden looks like he's 52 years old. So, I mean, I still don't think that guy is 24, 25, whatever he claims.
Alan Houston had the surgery. He couldn't get back on the floor. Kenyon Martin is still playing. He had it. Tracy McGrady.
He's still not Kenyon Martin. He wasn't Kenyon Martin.
No, Tracy McGrady had it. We all know what's going on with Tracy
McGrady. And, you know, the funny thing is with Beltran is that, Chris, you could start to see that his career was starting to decline a little bit. He's not quite the defensive outfielder that he once was. The speed is not there from what it once was. And now this is going to just, you know, Who knows what's going to happen after this? And the Mets are on the hook for what? $36 million, $37 million over the next 2 years. If I'm the Mets, I'm telling you, do not pay this. Find a way not to pay this guy for however long he's going to be out.
I completely and totally
12
agree.
Weeks till the All-Star break, whatever.
The money should be
they
deferred.
They do not have to pay this
the
guy.
The money should be deferred and put in a charity in his name because he should not collect it.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on. Still in baseball, but to McGuire. I gave my short, brief take on this. What do you think?
All I think about is the Family Guy episode where Stewie takes steroids. Steroids? I like my body. I say body because John Mayer. You know, but I'm just, I'm going off on a tangent here. But look, Mark McGuire, if you didn't know he was taking steroids, then you are on the former planet known as Pluto. Because really, this guy just... Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. It was just a known fact.
Like I said,
however,
in the open, if I was 15 and a bunch of my friends could look at his rookie card back in the days where we used to trade baseball cards and then look at him like 5-6 years down the line, we knew something wasn't right.
And here's the thing. Everybody knew it.
And Tony La Russa is a clown for saying he didn't know what was going on, by the way.
But look, he's the highest profile guy from that era now to come out and say, I've done it. He's going to take a hit here because he said that he did it to prolong his career. He did it to get through the injuries because he had that rough patch in the mid-90s to get through those injuries and to build his body up again. But it wasn't for home runs. To me, I think this makes it worse.
Well, Mike Francesa...
He's at least admitting it.
Mike Francesa earlier in the week, he said something that I disagree with. And he said if he went before Congress and just spilled his guts and told Congress everything in those hearings, that he probably would be in the Hall of Fame today. I can't put this guy in the Hall of Fame, and it goes back to what I said about Mattingly. Mattingly, and there has to be other guys out there who got to a point in their career where they had decent starts to their career, but started getting injuries and starting getting nicked up, and never turned to HGH, and
right,
never turned to PEDs. And they're not looked at as Hall of Famers. So if guys who broke down as normal people aren't looked at as Hall of Famers, how in the world can you put Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa, wink, wink, Barry Bonds, wink, wink? We haven't heard from them yet, but guess what?
Look, Mark McGuire, the whole point I was trying to get at is I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, and I think the writer's going to look at it that he's not a Hall of Famer because he actually had the nerve to say to Bob Costas, if I didn't take steroids in the 1998 season, I still think I would have hit 70 home runs. I mean, the nerve on this guy. The absolute audacity to say that he didn't take steroids to hit home runs but to prolong his career is just insane. It's absolutely insane. First of all, the two things go hand in hand because if he didn't prolong his career, he wouldn't have hit the 70 home runs anyway. So that just completely blows my mind that this guy's enough of a moron to say that.
As Jose Canseco said, Mark McGuire's still lying. And anything that comes out of Jose Canseco's mouth, I'm going to believe now.
I don't think that Mark McGuire's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Sammy Sosa's a Hall of Famer. I personally, if I had a vote, I would put, even though he is a cheater. I think Barry Bonds' career before we all thought he was taking steroids. I think there was a point where Barry Bonds wasn't taking steroids, where he was a top two player in the game, where I would actually vote for him. And that's just me. But I'm also a tough grader. I know you brought up Mattingly. I love Mattingly. You know Don Mattingly is my favorite player all time. I mean, when I went up to the stadium and I had chances to interview him, I literally couldn't ask him any questions. But my whole thing with Mattingly is I don't think he had enough seasons to get him in the Hall of Fame. Enough big seasons. I think 6 years of dominance does not get you it does not make you a Hall of Famer. And I think that even a decade at this point it's very debatable.
Well,
I see what you're saying.
My point with Mattingly is if he doesn't get in, then none of these guys get in. None of these steroid guys get in. None of them. No, I'm talking about Alex Rodriguez, too.
Oh.
The guy didn't need performance-enhancing drugs, okay? He didn't.
No, I agree
with that. He was good, but, you know, these guys who admit it, who knows? Do you know, were you there with him his entire career? Do you know when and do you know when he started and when he stopped?
You could also make a case, though, that, look, Gaylord Perry shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. The guy threw a spitter. I mean, that was his pitch of choice. But he's in the Hall of Fame. You can go back to the dead ball era and talk about conduct of players. Ty Cobb and Mickey Cochran and the way that they
played. We're talking about, I know we're talking about what they did on the field, though.
These
guys on the field were enhanced chemically.
And I'm talking about the way Ty Cobb played the game, where he went in spikes up and was just, he wasn't a clean, but he was a dirty player.
I have one more thing to say about this, because, you know, this could be an entire two-hour podcast.
Which we're on pace right now.
Yeah, I know. But this is the thing, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. And the thing that gets me upset about McGuire even more is that the whole Roger Maris thing. And hugging the family after he broke the record, the audacity and the gall this guy had to be doing what he was doing and take that record, which was so sacred at the time. Now, who cares? But at the time, that record was so sacred. And what Roger had to deal with in 1961 with the city of New York, you know, the city of New York did everything but run onto the field and beat the hell out of this guy. He was losing hair. And he didn't even want the damn record.
No, I know.
He just wanted to play baseball. And I guarantee you, if Mickey Mantle broke it and then Roger Maris broke it after that, but Mickey Mantle ended up having the most home runs, Roger Maris would have had a perfect life. He would have lived about another 15 years. I think the city of New York took at least 15 years off Roger Maris' life.
And I'll say this about McGuire. You know, Harmon Killebrew, the great slugger in history.
And now he's a hitting coach. Let's not forget about that. I'm sorry.
Harmon Killebrew, the great slugger in baseball history, once said of Mark McGuire, my legs aren't as big as Mark McGuire's arms.
Yes.
And really, if you couldn't tell from his body type that he was on steroids, then you can, I'm going to coin a phrase here. You know how when you know that people are on steroids, they have back knee? Well, Mark McGuire had neck knee. I mean, you could see it all over his neck. I mean, if you didn't see his body type, how did you not see the neck knee?
See, and the Andro was perfectly placed in his locker.
Yeah.
As a smokescreen to what he was, you know, it makes me sick to my stomach.
Just know that Mark McGuire didn't like injection. He liked it orally. That's what he said.
And on that note...
We
will go to our football segment where we will try to keep this clean and not turn into Craig Carton on WFAN. Thank you very much. Next thing you know, Joe will be in a Speedo walking across the Brooklyn Bridge with his jet jersey on. Highly doubtful. Anyway, when we come back, what a segue. We will talk about the New York Jets and everything that is going on with them as they head into San Diego, the last game this weekend in your divisional round of the NFL playoffs. The Off the Wall podcast continues right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back, Jay-Z. Nobody has a swagger like us.
That is true. And Chris, I did want to tell you, better watch out because Jay Leno. I think Jay Leno's going to take over all podcasts at YesNetwork.com.
And like Conan O'Brien, I'll go to a different network. Conan O'Brien, as we go off tangent again, made a great point. The Tonight Show isn't the Tonight Show when it's the next day.
How about this one? Last night in his monologue, Conan O'Brien says, "Kids, I just want to let you know you can do anything you want. I wanted to be the host of The Tonight Show, and look at that. I was the host of The Tonight Show. You can do anything you want, unless Jay Leno wants it to."
I love this line. I my dream came true. I was able to host The Tonight Show for 7 months.
he's good right now.
Yeah, he's going to be a hot commodity, so good for Conan.
I
still don't understand Jimmy Fallon, but whatever. It is what it is. If anybody's listening out there who wants a late night host, I'm ready, willing, and able. It's basically
what I want Drew Carey's job.
It's basically what I want to do.
I want to be the Price is Right guy.
Anyway, we started this segment with Swagger Like Us for the New York Jets. City of New York in a pandemic right now because of gangrene.
Very nice.
As the Jets go out to San Diego and take on the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, who haven't scored under 20 points this season, as Kerry Rhodes said this week. Well, they haven't faced us yet. I mentioned that in the open. We'll mention it again. I don't have a problem with the Jets having any kind of swagger. They do have a good defense, but we argued about this in the Atlanta game, and I got to go back to it, and I got to give you a little credit here, because if the Jets defense, and I know they were out on the field a while, and I stuck up for them in that game, but if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk, and stop Atlanta on that last drive of the game and get your team a win.
That's it.
You know what I mean? If you go out to San Diego this week, Jets defense, and you shut down guys like Antonio Gates, Phillip Rivers, and Vincent Jackson, I got nothing to say. Next week, I will come on this podcast, and I'll be wearing Jet green for a trip to the Super Bowl. I really will. I mean, I will be on board, but I will not be like, listen, you know I'm a Giant fan if you listen to this podcast, but I will be on board. I will be a Jet fan, and I will be rooting for this team. And, I just wish that Jet fans would take a little bit more tactful approach to this. I know it's fine to be excited. It's good to be excited. Mm-hmm. But be cautiously optimistic. The reason why the Jets hurt you so much is because you, even when you know they probably don't have the best shot to get where you want them to go, you already have them there. You do it to yourselves. It's not the team, it's you.
And you're facing a team that's won 11 games in a row. So let's just start there. I mean, this is a Charger team that... On offense, look, their running attack isn't what it used to be.
No,
but
it's still there.
It's still there.
But
Damian Tomlinson is not great anymore.
It could still hurt you, though.
I agree.
And so can Sproles.
Sproles can hurt you out of the backfield, but what Sproles can really hurt you with is catching those screens.
Exactly.
And making something out of
and
that.
And the Jets can send 9 guys if they want. All Rivers has to do is throw it over the 9 guys, hit Sproles, and he's got 2 guys to beat.
Yeah, and look, the Jets haven't faced a guy like Antonio Gates all season. Let me take that back. They did face a guy like Antonio Gates in Tony Gonzalez, and you know what? They shut down Tony Gonzalez until the absolute last play of the game when Tony Gonzalez scored on them. So,
and they're not going to be dealing with a quarterback who's, basically hobbling like... No, Matt Ryan was.
Phillip Rivers is
completely 100% healthy. And I completely contend with all the experts out there. I agree with them this week. The Jets, if they want to go in there and they want to come out with a victory, they need to get some turnovers. And Sanchez has to do the same thing he did last week against the Bengals. Mistake-free football. And Braylon Edwards, can you please catch a ball
that's in your hands. You can't make mistakes
Braylon
like that
Braylon Edwards cannot drop passes like that this week. If he drops a big, potential touchdown catch like he did against the Bengals in Cincinnati, wrap it up. It's done.
You can't make
over.
Mistakes like
you
that.
You have to make those plays, and you have to cause turnovers like you did last week in the jungle.
And, you bring up that point. Look, I think the offense has to be near perfect to win this game. I think Sanchez has to have a game like he had last week. I think the running attack has to be exactly what it was last week. It's really the defense that kind of almost let the Jets down. The Jets had that game. But really, Cedric Benson ran all over them last week. So the defense is, as much as they're crowing right now, they're the ones that kind of let down the team last week. It was the offense that really won that game for the Jets. If I'm the Jets right now, the coaching staff, you know what game film I'm watching? I'm watching Giants-Chargers because the Giants really held that offense down throughout the whole game. To the last drive. So, look, I'm the Jets. I'm looking at what the Giants did to stop them throughout that game.
Which is weird because we're talking about a Giants defense that got rid of their defensive coordinator. But you know what? You're right. The Giants did do a good job against the Chargers in holding them. But they did lose the game because of that last drive. All right, so we'll make our picks right now. And then in our next segment, we'll talk about a little college football to wrap that up. Alabama won the national championship. But as far as NFL picks go.
By the way, what were the picks last week?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Joe was 3-1. His only loss was the Green Bay game. In fact, we both lost that game. I did like Arizona, but I just thought Aaron Rodgers, with that right arm, the way he's been throwing the ball and the way they've been playing on offense, I just didn't think the Cardinals would have a chance. Unfortunately, they did. They won 51-45.
Yeah. The most what a game
ever in a playoff game, what 96. So Joe was 3-1, his only loss Green Bay. I was stupid, and I took Cincinnati. I really didn't know the extent of Carson Palmer's injuries, not to make excuses, but I forget who said it. It was either Steve Summers or someone else on the radio. The analogy was crystal clear and couldn't be any better. Palmer looked like a reliever who couldn't find the strike zone. He was all over the place. And, you know, if he was anywhere near where Carson Palmer usually is, and Chad Johnson, the Jets might have been in a little trouble last week. But you know what? I'm not going to take anything away from their victory. They're moving on to the second round. They're in the divisional playoffs. Let's take the Jets game first. I'll make this quick this week.
Yeah, no problem.
The Jets game first. I'm taking the Chargers. Sorry, Jet fans, but this is where it ends. I know you could push your chest out there and say the Giants aren't here. Fine, whatever. Your team's losing this week. Mark it down. In fact, I'll make you a bet right now. If the Jets beat the Chargers, it's not going to be anywhere along the lines of Craig Carton's, you know,
speedo across the
board. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I will go out, buy a Jet hat, and I will wear that to the office for a week.
But you got to take a picture of it and put it on the blog.
And I will take a picture of me in a Jet hat, and I will put it on the blog, and I will eat crow. Mm. I definitely
will.
We'll
get a crow.
We'll get a crow, and I'll eat it. And we'll put that video on the blog as well. Kidding. I'm not eating Heckle or Jekyll next week, but I will eat my words. So Chargers is number one. Okay. Number two, let's stick with the AFC, Ravens and Colts. This is a tough one. This is a very tough one, but I said I was going to keep it short. I'm going with Indianapolis, only because I want to see the two best teams in the AFC Championship game. I think that's the way it should come down. I think that's the way it should happen. I want to see one of the two best teams in the AFC this year in the Super Bowl. I don't care if it's the Colts or the Chargers. I just want one of those teams in Miami. NFC, Saints and Cardinals. I thought about this and thought about this and thought about this. The Saints lost their last three games of the season. Everybody's getting on that saying, I don't think it means anything. I think they come back. I think they beat the Cardinals in this game, and I think the Saints move on to the NFC Championship. The other NFC game.
Wow. Everybody's on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Everybody is on the Cowboys bandwagon.
Everybody loves the Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys going.
Even Joe Callo loves the Cowboys. Well, Joe Callo thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl. So.
Well, that, I do too, pretty much.
Oh, so there you go. There's your pick.
So I'm taking Dallas over Minnesota. It's another disappointment for Brett Favre. I think they're probably the hottest defense in the league right now. Sorry, Rex Ryan. But I think the Dallas Cowboys beat Brett Favre and company in Minnesota. Joe, take it away.
All right, I'm going to start with that game then, Chris. I'm going to tell you that everybody loves the Cowboys. Everybody loved the Eagles, too. You remember that? Oh, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. I can't wait to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I think this is where that little magic carpet ride and that $1.5 billion stadium hits the brick wall. Okay?
Is this the inner Giant fan talking?
This is actually not the Giant fan. I've thought about
this. So this is your head, not your heart.
I've actually thought about this. And with everybody going for the Cowboys right now and saying, oh, Favre and the Vikings, I think this is where they've hit the wall and that's it. I got to be honest with you. When I've seen Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings clicking on all cylinders, I've said to myself this season, there is not one better team in the league than the Minnesota Vikings. I've said that to myself. Now, I don't think they're the best team in the league. However, I think they're better than the Dallas Cowboys. I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings. I'm also going to take the New Orleans Saints.
All right.
I just think it's a really nice story with Kurt Warner. I'd love to see him win this game. I just don't think they're going to. I just don't think they have the horses to do it. Moving to the San Diego Jet game, it's Chargers. Look, the Jets need to play a near-perfect game to win this game, and I just don't foresee the inconsistent Jets playing consistently at top level on offense 2 weeks in a row.
They get exposed this week. They get exposed by a better team. You know, they had a good run. They have a playoff win. Take it and go to next year some moxie.
It just shows, you know how good the Chargers are? The Chargers are so good. They are playing at the highest level you can play at with Norv Turner as their coach. I mean, that's how good this team is.
11 straight
wins. And that guy's a bumbling moron. Yeah. So that's all I have to say about the Chargers. Now, we go to the Indianapolis-Baltimore game. And at this point, you're saying, Joe has just gone chalk all the way. No, I'm taking the Ravens right here, baby. And you know what? Those Indianapolis Colts and Bill Polian, you are going to rue the day that you sat all of your players. And this is where it's going to show. The Baltimore Ravens have been playing at a high level for weeks now. That defense, they step it up at the right time. They're run by an on-field general in Ray Lewis. And this guy is going to frustrate Peyton Manning and that offense this week. Defense wins championships. Defense is going to prevail in this game. It is going to be the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, you heard it right here from Joe Auriemma. And since you brought up, before we go to break, really quick, I wanted to touch on this from the time they did sit all those players when they were 14-0. How dare they?
I agree.
I completely understand what led to this players-only meeting in Indianapolis run by Peyton Manning. You are two games away from being undefeated. It's something only one team did in the history of the league.
Yeah.
And that one team, we both know, you know, it was
they're
only
18-1. Oh, no, the Miami Dolphins.
The other team.
Yeah, the 70s. The other Mercury team. Mars. I don't even count them.
They're right.
14 games.
But to
get
be that close and to put in all the time and all the effort and training camp and this and that and win every game and get to that point against the Jets and you have the lead.
Chris.
And you sit everybody.
If it didn't matter, why would they play everybody the week before from beginning to end? They had everything clinched the week before against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And they played from beginning to end. If it didn't matter, they would have only played a half against Jacksonville and sat everybody against the Jets.
That's a tremendous point.
They play the full game against Jacksonville.
That's a tremendous
point. And then they have the lead against the Jets. Why are they even playing that game?
Why did Peyton Manning even sniff the field?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, and I understand why the players are upset, but I think that players only meeting was Peyton Manning saying, you know what, screw the organization, let's do this for ourselves, let's win it for ourselves, and let's go out there and let's show them that we could have been that undefeated team. So that's why I'm taking. Hey, listen, every one of your points with the Ravens, I take and I agree with. I just think Peyton Manning finds a way to get his team in the
and he's done it all year. I mean, he's come back all year, so it wouldn't shock me.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts are down early and come back and win that game.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I can't disagree with you.
All right, when we come back, it's time to get cream puff on you. And I don't mean the ones you eat. I mean the ones you play against. Yep, that's right. Division I football has some work to do. There should have been one more game in the Division I season. It should have been Alabama against Boise State in the last game of the season. That didn't happen. Alabama is your national champion. Boise State is your undefeated team. So when we come back, maybe a solution on the Off the Wall podcast on yesnetwork.com right after this.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Ever wonder how you could fix the BCS computer? Well, Joe and I put our heads together and we're trying to come up with a solution, and I think Joe has it. But before we get to that, something I came up with, I took the top 10 teams, looked at all their schedules, and came up with this Cream Puff average margin of victory. Now, your number one rated Alabama Crimson Tide, who won the national championship, has a CPAMV, Cream Puff average margin of victory. You're going to hear that, so I'm just going to use it as an acronym from now on, of 39 points. They beat FIU 40-14. They beat North Texas 53-7. They beat Chattanooga 45-0.
Okay, so with the Cream Puff average margin of victory, what constitutes them getting 39 points?
Well, their margin of victory.
Okay.
That's the margin of victory they had over those three opponents.
Okay, I got it.
That's the average victory over those three opponents.
Okay, I should just kind of listen to what.
Now, the Texas Longhorns, the team that played Alabama in the national championship game, Louisiana Monroe, really?
Monroe.
59-20. Wyoming, 41-10. UTEP, 64-7. And Central Florida, 35-3. For CPAMV of 39.8. Almost 40 points. They beat teams right there per game. Now, let's go to Florida really quick. I'm skipping ahead to the fifth-ranked Gators, who beat the fourth-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats, who totally trashed the Big East. Destroyed the Big East, a conference which, you know, I've grown up with and love.
Yeah.
Destroyed it. You wished for a better showing, and it just didn't happen. Cincinnati lost.
Can you imagine if it was Rutgers in that game?
Oh, God. 51-24. I mean, this was the last game for Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
And the seniors there, and it was the last game Urban Meyer was going to coach for a little while.
Well, he had his heart in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
you are on fire today.
Whoop.
All right, listen. The CPAMV for Florida. Are you sitting down? Joe is. 56. They beat Charleston Southern, 62-3. They beat FIU, 62-3, same score. And they beat Troy, who was in a bowl before the national championship game, 56-6. Really?
Wow.
You need Troy in a bowl? You really need Troy in a bowl? I'm not talking about Troy Benjamin, our producer here at the Yes Network.
I was just going to say that.
I'm talking about Troy, the college. Okay, so here we go. Having said all of that, why not, between the top 10 teams, this was my idea, between the top 10 teams has nothing to do with the bowls at the end of the year. Joe has that idea, and I think his idea is a great idea. But my idea is, hey, I know you want to bring these non-conference opponents in to give them a little hype for their program. All well and good. All well and good. I could see that. Appalachian State beat Michigan at the Big House. Can you name me another upset? I was waiting for the cricket, and Joe was right there with it. No other upsets. And Michigan was not Michigan that year, as we all came to realize after that quote-unquote Chris Farley upset loss. So here's my suggestion. You take the final rankings, the top...
Of the Cream Puff average margin of victory.
No. You take the final AP ranking.
Oh, AP. Okay, we're going
the
AP.
The top
okay.
10.
Okay.
You take out those Cream Puffs from the schedule. You replace said Cream Puffs with teams from the top 10. And you schedule them anywhere in the season. Anywhere. I don't care where it is. It doesn't have to be at the beginning. If you want your team to build up a little
steam before the
season. Fine. And you know what? Schedule some conference opponents then.
Oh, I agree.
For example, Alabama, you can go play Kentucky. You can go play Mississippi State. You know, those. Going to Florida really quick. Florida, for example, you could welcome in Vanderbilt early on. Kentucky and Mississippi State. You know, you can get all, you have Cream Puffs in your conference. Now listen, you can't get rid of conference opponents.
Because it's like Boise State, they are what they are.
Yeah, Boise State is Boise State. We can go to, they played Miami of Ohio, they won 48-0. They played Bowling Green 49-14 and Cal Davis 34-16. Their CPAMV was 33.6. But everybody else on their schedule, they need to play. I mean, they played Oregon, opening game of the season, Pac-10 opponent. They were ranked 16th at the time, and they won 19-8. And Oregon went to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe Boise State is a competitor. They really are.
They've won two Fiesta Bowls in the last 5 years.
And it's just a sacrilege to not give them an opportunity to hold up that crystal ball. It's a sacrilege. So that's my suggestion. So make Alabama, now I know Florida is in the SEC, but take teams like Texas. Have a rematch of the national championship game. Take teams like, hey, Cincinnati, you want to run with the big dogs? Guess what? You're playing Alabama.
Yeah. Boise, I got no problem with
Boise
that.
Boise State I have no problem with because their schedule is their schedule. Oregon, same thing. Guess what? You're playing Florida. Ohio State, not only are you going to play a very tough Big Ten team, your Big Ten teams, you're going to play Alabama or Boise State. You have Boise State in Boise State. Same thing. You get it. On and on and on. That way, you know, you want to find the cream of the crop during the regular season. That's the way you do it. If you don't like that idea, I defer to the distinguished gentleman from Northern New Jersey, Bloomfield? Is
it? Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Yes, the distinguished gentleman from Bloomfield, Joe Auriemma. Joe.
I just said, look, you have the four major bowls already. You have the Fiesta, you have the Sugar, you have the Orange and the Rose. Why not take, look, to me, most of the time, it doesn't go beyond top eight where you think those are the best teams anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you have essentially four major bowls and the national championship bowl. So they have 10 teams in there already. But I would go and make a bracket tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Why not with eight teams? You have the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Rose Bowl host those eight teams in the first round of the tournament.
So all eight of those first
the
games.
The top eight BCS teams
would be
in this tournament of basically, you could call it the Tournament of Roses if the national championship site is at the Rose Bowl.
Right.
The Tournament of Oranges, the Tournament a la Fiesta, whatever the hell they're going to call it, okay?
Tournament a la Tostito.
But you have this tournament of eight teams, the top eight BCS mm-hmm. teams, giving teams like Boise State, if they're in the top eight, a chance to participate in this tournament. Okay, so you have that. You play those four games. Okay, they're already playing those four games January 1st, okay? A week later, you play the second round of this tournament. Four teams are eliminated. The top four teams are left, correct?
Dare I say final four?
You have a final four. If you want to keep these four sites as the exclusive place to have the BCS tournament, okay, so each of these teams gets a rotation every year. So let's say the Sugar Bowl over the Fiesta Bowl gets one round of the bracket. So the second round will go to the Sugar Bowl, and then the other second round of the BCS tournament would go to the Orange Bowl. Okay? So you have the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl host a second round a week later. I don't see why this is a problem because they've already set a precedent where the Fiesta Bowl the Rose Bowl this year had a game 1 week, and then a week later they had the BCS National Championship game. So they've already set this precedent. So January 7th, they have the second round of the tournament. Okay, so you get, you know, let's just say the top two teams come out of this now. Then a week later, on January 14th, you have the BCS National Championship game. One of these bowls is going to be left out every year for having a second game.
Just make it a rotation.
Then you have the Rose Bowl. I'm just using this as an arbitrary, you know, bracket now. You have the Rose Bowl host the national championship game. And then next year, the Rose Bowl, because they hosted the national championship game, they're out. And the Fiesta Bowl then,
it's just like the networks with the Super Bowl.
They just switch. They just keep switching. And then you have a national champion.
There you go. You heard it here on the Off the Wall podcast. Joe,
You
came up with this in 2 seconds.
The whole thing is,
it's not that hard, people.
They don't want to lose the sponsorship of the bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them the whole bracket.
Yeah.
I don't see why this is so hard. This isn't hard. We came up with this in 10 minutes.
You know what? The thing that it always comes back to, Joe, is the money. And, you know, in order for...
To me, I think a tournament would bring in more, generate more money.
I hear you, but I think to not intrude on the NFL's second season, I think you'd have to shift everything back a week.
Shift it back.
But your idea, shifting everything back 1 week, I think that's the solution.
Shift it right back. You're telling me that these kids would... Chris is laughing. You're telling me, okay, look, they might have to play a game on December 24th or December 23rd. In the first round. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that these kids...
Oh,
on their
they would
break,
sign for that right now.
They to say...
If it meant they had a shot to win a national... they'd sign for it right now. They would.
That's my point.
There's no question.
That's my point.
What do you think 65 teams do in basketball?
So you still have the lore of your January 1st games, the New Year's games, which would be the second round... And then you have the national championship on your stupid little Thursday or Saturday, wherever you want to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I think it should get done. Who do we call?
Oh, I don't think we have enough pull.
Well, having said that, I think it's a great idea. And I know I made everyone wait for this, not only a week, but about 45 minutes into the podcast. But you could use that little... button where you skip ahead to find it. I guess I don't know if you wanted to do that and you wanted to get rid of this.
I do want to apologize to the audience. There was a point in our baseball segment where I stuttered a little bit because Kevin Sullivan handed me a paper on a subject that we were no longer speaking about. We were on Mark McGwire. Mm-hmm. We were talking, and he brought up a point about Carlos Beltran. So I'm going to read what he wrote on this paper. Mets will never sign another F.A. free agent.
Yes.
If they take Beltran's money. So that's his point on the matter.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that.
Dynamite dropping.
And I was stuttering because something was sliding under my door, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And it was a note from Kevin to let him in.
Oh, you know what? I have that as well. I think I wrote over. Let a brother in.
And on that note, we're going to end things here on the Off the Wall podcast. A busy week, a lot to talk about. Don't forget, if you're still with us at this point, God bless you. We love you for being with us. Trust me, Joe and I, we pride ourselves on doing this. We try to do the job to the best of our ability. We're hoping that someday we could parlay this into a radio show where people actually do call in. But you can call in. The number 646. I'll wait till you get a pen. 646-487-3668. It's not live. You don't have to call when we're taping it, obviously. It's just like leaving a message on a family member's cell phone, voicemail. You leave the message. Joe edits your question or comment in, and we respond to it. It's kind of cool. It's called interaction, everyone. You could also, if you don't want to call, if you don't want to be heard, you could also be seen or read in an email, and you could email us, pick up the pen again, off the wall, all one word, at yesnetwork.com. That's off the wall at yesnetwork.com. And that phone number one more time, 646-487-3668. So for the Godfather, Joe Auriemma, this is Chris Sheeran saying, have a great weekend. Enjoy the NFL playoffs. Enjoy that extra college game. Oh, wait, there isn't one. And we will see you. We will see you next week. And it's coming high time for pitchers and catchers, February 18th. So we're
almost there, Chris.
A little bit more than a month away.
Yes, and our coverage, just to plug it, our coverage on yesnetwork.com will begin March 2nd to the 12th.
And we will both be down there.
So. Yes, sir.
For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast on yesnetwork.com. Take care, everybody. When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Cause we're the party people, night and day. Living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9 to 5 up on the shelf. And just
Let's enjoy yourself. Groove. Let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all.
You live it off the wall.
Life